Give it up for Monday. Clap your hands on Monday. Let's dance, it's Monday.
It's a Monday. So many juicy things happened over the weekend. And let me tell you, the calls are flying, the emails are flying, the names are flying. Wow. I can't understand people's vocabulary because it seems the only word they can come up with is see you next Tuesday. It's the Monica J. Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. I'm so glad you're with me today to recap the weekend and move forward. You always take a look at the past, but the path is forward. And forward all the way to this Saturday, where we will be having another Open Up These Damn Businesses protest. Rally, sorry, not protesting. We don't protest. We rally because we're peaceful. You know, it's an open carry state, so people, of course, are, you know, just exercising their rights. But you also have rights to everything else in your life, you know, working, socializing, and all that good stuff that is being completely trampled on, and there are way too many people out there that are comfortable with it. Very comfortable with it. Wow. That's just, yeah, that's pretty much wow. So how does it all start? Oh, we've got some great guests coming up today. We got a rancher, Thad, from Texas. He's going to give us the 411 on the 911 that is yet to come. Hence today's poll question. We're also going to be hearing from Greg Hughes. And we are going to be hearing from Sarah Schmitz, who's running for office. We've got at least two interviews every day this week for people running for office in the primary. And this is so important, you know these people. And you ask them questions and you go to their websites and you contact them, because it is imperative that, you know, November gets here, you vote, literally it's us versus them. How do you like that analogy? Us versus them. In the primary, though, this is the more important vote. Your primary vote decides who you want representing you. Now, in some instances, when it comes to party, if you're looking at the Republican Party, a lot of people out there that don't have challengers. But in other instances, they do. So you need to make up your mind who speaks louder for you and who has the cojones to stand up to other Republicans like John Ellis, Senator Ellison out in Elko. Who has the cojones to stand up to people in your own party? Look at the Democrat who got censured because she thanked Trump for helping with hydroxychloroquine for her treatment. And the other Democrats were literally, how dare you? How dare you give him the time of day? You're going to be punished. Really? I'm not going to be a part of any party that believes in censoring your voice, shutting you down because you're speaking the truth. So, speaking of truth, let's just play this little ditty first thing this morning because, well, sometimes they just tell you flat out how they feel and what they're going to do.
Fulfilling God, you demonize, and then we call it the wrap-up smear. If you want to talk politics, you call it the wrap-up smear. You smear somebody with falsehoods and all the rest, and then you merchandise it. And then you write it, and they'll say, see, it's reported in the press that this, 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 and this. So they have that validation that the press reported the smear, and then it's called the wrap-up smear. Now I'm going to merchandise the press's report on the smear that we made. And it's a tactic, and it's self-evident.
Yeah, because we know the press is so honest. I mean, look at all the reports from the rally on Saturday. Yeah, I'm just out there killing people over my nails. Yeah, I went for 6 weeks for not having my nails done. And let me tell you, I was okay with that. But yeah. When all is said and done, I'm done playing this game with people. Thank you for reposting my Facebook post. Now, I know a lot of our listeners don't do Facebook, which, you know, it's fine. That's you do your thing. And we will try to get you the information as quickly as we can. So here's what I posted. Because I don't go out there and, you know, if you want to friend me on Facebook, friend me on Facebook. If you don't, if you want to unfriend me, that's fine too. I don't care. I don't live my life by those numbers. So this is what I posted. Okay, I need to clear out some friends. So here we go. You're being set up and you're falling in line like you're supposed to. Turn off the blame stream media and do some research on your own. Take advantage of your free time. You make your choice. It's still America for the time being. You will not see me in a face mask or gloves. If you're sick, stay home. If you're scared to stand for what you believe in, stay home. If you have a weakened immune system, stay home. It's not about Reno or Nevada. It's about the country and the world. It's about rights, not an illness. Don't ask to open your business. Demand it and demand more from those you elected to office. If you want to cower and have others use your compassion for others against you, then so be it. But dragging the rest of us down needs to stop. I will never take the vaccine or the test. If you decide to, that's fine. Your choice. I'll see you on the other side, and we'll see who's right. Once again, your emotions are being used against you. And rather than comply, I hope someday you fight. You find the strength to come out of the shadows and stand beside those who fight for you. For all of us. God bless you. I love you. The end friend button is on the right. It's in writing. That's how I feel. So if you choose to listen to another show, turn me off. Well, I say so be it, but I'm pretty sure that my boss prefers that you listen. But you know what? I believe for every listener we lose, we're going to gain 5 or 10 more. Because when you listen to other so-called conservative talk stations, when you listen to the non-biased, you know, just reporting the facts media, you're not getting any truth out there. They skew everything they touch, even in the way that they write things, the way they say things. If you want to even see any bit of facts, don't read a story or look at a story that's in print on the internet. Go to the very bottom, at the very end of the story. And that's usually where they might put in a kernel of truth. You know, like, did have underlying health conditions. Yeah. If you believe that our rallies are putting you at risk, then stay home. If you believe our businesses being open are causing more, then don't go to those businesses. It's your choice. But let everybody make their choice. You push it for abortion. Why not push it for your rights? Boy, come talk about double standards and hypocrisy. We'll be back after this. 884-9910. Remember, that's the text line as well. Text or call in if you've got something to say today. 884-9910. Or you can shoot me an email and come up just like Dave did with those, you know, just incredible, those incredible words of wisdom. Whatever you got for me, bring it. Because if the only word that you can come up with is C-U-N-T, well, yeah, that really doesn't bother me all that much. We'll be back after this on the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
99.1, the FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada. KKFT.
It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Thanks for joining me on this haze. Where is this haze coming from? It's supposed to be beautiful blue sky on this Monday. Try to make it a beautiful day for you, but sometimes it just doesn't work out. All right, here we go. On 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk, we have our poll question up. Do you believe, actually, let me do this quickly so I can vote at the same time that I tell you about it. Okay, with what's going on in the world right now, do you think we will have food shortages this year and next? Yes, no, or we can always eat Democrats. I'm hoping we don't have to turn to cannibalism yet, but that's your opportunity to vote. So that's it. 991fmtalk.com. Also, I'm going to get producer Craig to put the flyer for this Saturday, because we will be rallying at the state capitol in Carson City once again to get this state open, 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 open. Let's go to the phone lines at 884-9910 and check in with Ken. Hi, Ken. Thanks for calling the show.
Morning to you. Great show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to two quick things. I agree completely that when there's a news item that is a very tiny detail, mentions that someone was 97 years old and had diabetes, that could have contributed to this situation, I almost have to laugh because it's beyond funny if it were not true. And the second thing, I am sick and tired of seeing these numbers that are paraded on all of the news channels, including Fox. What they should also do is say how many people die in a normal day as it is around the world or around the state anyway. Nobody mentions 150,000 people die every day in this world.
Yeah.
That's fact.
And what really just sets me off, Ken, and they don't talk about this, is the fact that your loved one is there in their room, isolated, at one of the most important times in their life when they pass, and they're alone.
Yep.
No family, no friends, no one there to comfort them. You spend your life with your wife or your husband, your companion, and that's it. You can't even say goodbye. You can't hold their hand. They're taking that away from every single person out there. And even more so, you know, they're always saying, oh, you know, make sure you do your breast exams and, you know, get your mammograms and do your self-breast exam. And you know what? If I found a lump, guess what? I'm screwed. I don't get to go to the hospital.
Right.
People are dying because they're afraid.
Yeah, we've created a monster here, the effects of which will be felt for decades.
Yeah.
And primarily destroying, to a large degree, the system that we've created. Absolutely horrendous.
Yeah, because that's the sad part, Ken, that people aren't realizing. And if we don't get this turned around now and fix the problems, they're just going to try even harder the next time.
Yeah, it is very, very scary the way that, sadly, even the United States has degenerated since 9/11. And if one were to look at what would be taken for granted by our predecessors and our ancestors, and now look at the life that we are slowly being squeezed into, especially with the advent of technology. This is not going in the right direction, Monica.
Yeah, it's not. They've trapped us with the convenience. They've trapped us with technology. No one on either side is ever going to give up their cell phone or their laptop or their pads or, you know, whatever, their little tablets. They've been working on this for a long time, and it's starting to come to fruition, Ken.
Well, I would just close by saying this, that in my opinion, if I were able to magically go back in a time machine back to, say, 1978 or any number probably prior to the 80s, if you looked at the happiness quote factor of the average person at that time, I'm sure it was far higher than now, because everybody now has been pushed into some form of anxiety. And frankly, our freedoms and our expectations have been narrowed very, very much. Yeah. You know, you go to an airport, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you've got to do the other. Everything now is in a computer chip somewhere else. Very scary.
Yeah, it's not even the airport, Ken. I ran into Walmart the other day, and I now rather than just being a nice free open area, now I had to go in one door and I had to go through everything, and I had to, you know, read all the markings on the floors and saw the person with their little tablet there, and I had to go out a certain direction. So, you know, they control everything that we do.
Yeah, we've drifted into almost what would have been regarded as a very cheesy science fiction movie in the 1960s or early 70s. And you'd have laughed at some of these things.
Yeah.
Very scary. Thank you for your time, Monica.
Thank you, Ken. I appreciate your thoughts. 884-9910, if there's something that you would like to discuss, something that's going on. I have a very special guest. He is a rancher from Texas. A lot of cattle coming out of Texas. And I hope you understand what they are being told to do. So Thad Sullivan is going to join us in just a moment. And he has a little speech on Facebook that has been going around, but we're going to get it straight from, instead of the horse's mouth, we're going to get it straight from the cattle's mouth. We'll do that. He's great to follow too. If just a great American. So we're going to be talking to him in just a few minutes. We're going to get him on the line. So thanks for being here with us on this Monday. It's your show. Remember that. Your truth. Whatever you want to discuss. 884-9910. We'll be back after this Fox News update on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
The talk starts here. Get the conversation going. Call now.
Hello?
99.1 KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
It's the Monica J. Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Live and local talk for all of Northern Nevada. So glad you're joining me today. Our ranchers, our farmers, so important to us. All of our workers are important to us. And this state is shut down. We still have counties all around us that haven't had one case of COVID-19. Not one. And others with only single digits. And yet this entire state of Nevada and its economy is shut down for the most part for small businesses, for the mom and pops. I just received an email. Ted, thank you for keeping me up to date on everything that you're going through and sending me the screenshots. This is from Ted this morning. Just got my help email returned to me. They shut off their email on the website to help people. Still pending 6 weeks now. Wow. 6 weeks. Have you ever tried to live your life with no income coming in for 2 months? It's not easy. But there are people that are getting the truth out. There are people that are fighting back. So I want you to answer today's poll question at 991fmtalk.com. With what's going on in the world right now, do you think we will have a food shortage this year and next? You just heard the story about that big chicken manufacturer. We had the Smithfield story. Go to the phone lines and check in with my new friend. It's so good to make friends across the United States. So my new friend, Shad Sullivan, who joins us right now, who is a, I'm just going to assume, actually, Craig, you got the wrong. Yeah, there we go. Thank you. I got Shad on the air with me now. And from, was it North Texas, Shad?
Yes, ma'am. North Texas, Archer County.
You know, I am not crazy about the ma'am, but coming out of your mouth, it sounds like total respect, and I love it. Shad, yes. tell us about yourself.
Well, I just turned 46 years old, and I'm a rancher. I'm an American rancher. I'm an American first, America loving rancher. My family and I have an operation in North Texas where we procure lightweight feeder cattle and we grow them on wheat through the winter. And then we send them to Colorado, actually several northern states, but our main headquarters is in southeast Colorado where my widowed mother actually runs the operation. And we summer all those cattle up there. So what I do is I buy a small calf. We grow them for a year. We love to watch them grow. That's our passion. And then we sell them off of grass to feed yards. and that's how it goes. I've got a beautiful wife and a really good-looking, handsome, spoiled little four-year-old boy.
Oh, you know those girls love those cowboys. Well, Shad, what are you being told from the officials in Texas, or the representatives? I'm sorry, I don't like to use the term officials, the representatives in Texas, about what you're going to have to do with your cattle?
Well, that's why you contacted me. Actually, we're not being told a lot. We don't hear very much from legislators. We don't hear very much from the feds. But yesterday, the United States Department of Agriculture come out with an announcement that they were going to help those of us in production agriculture, specifically animal production, protein production, try to get or find alternative measures to market our animals. And if that is not available or a capability, they would help us in the population control and disposal of those animals. And when I read that, I just got very angry. You know, we've been hearing about all of the vegetable crops being plowed under, chickens being euthanized, hogs, milk being thrown out, drained, and it really made me mad, because here in Texas, cattle is king, right? Cattle and oil are king, and we have an incredible number of feed yards and an incredible number of people who feed their cattle in feed yards to feed the world, and these cattle are market ready, harvest ready, and there are hundreds of thousands of them not getting any bids on these cattle. So what happens is the cattle in the feed yards continue to grow. There are no other options. They must be harvested in some way or another. And so that puts your options down to one thing. Well, when that corona hit and all of these packing facilities slow down production because of the COVID-19 in their facilities, I guess, then that puts a bottleneck on the supply chain, and we're in real trouble.
So that supply chain, how long does it take as a turnover goes for that supply chain to deplete itself and people not find steaks and hamburger and bacon and all that stuff that they want in the grocery stores? Are we going to be seeing this effect at the end of the year, at the beginning of next year, all through next year? How does that work?
I can't answer that in a 100% direct fashion, but let's just go back to 3 weeks ago when we had, you know, everybody started buying toilet paper. Well, yeah. We also had an incredible amount of grocery stores deplete their beef supply. Now, it didn't hit the pork a little bit. It didn't hit the chicken quite as hard, and it certainly didn't hit in our country the seafood section. But I went into just on personal experience, I went into a huge supermarket in Wichita Falls, Texas. They have a wonderful, wonderful beef counter, probably 50 feet long, and there wasn't 1 ounce of beef. So with that being said, I can tell you that it can happen fast. I asked the meat cutter back there, I said, "What's the deal with the beef?" He said, "Shad, we run out at 6 o'clock in the morning. We get the trucks in here about 5 o'clock. It's all out, and by 6 to 6:30, it's all gone. People are wanting this beef, so the demand is there. And obviously, with the COVID problem, and at that time, it wasn't a supply chain issue; it was just a panic issue, right?
Yeah.
And so they depleted their systems, and that's the way that it was in my local grocery store in small town America as well. And I think that if this was to occur, it could start happening pretty quick, because we're looking at 2 to 3 weeks, maybe even 4 weeks of backlog of harvest, cattle harvest. I know I've got one friend in Iowa that feeds an enormous amount of cattle. He hasn't had a bid on his cattle in 5 weeks. I've got a buddy that feeds a lot of cattle out in West Texas. He told me he hasn't had a bid in 2 weeks on his.
Wow.
So I can't answer that for sure, but I would say it would come before the fall, if not at the fall.
This is just crazy. And then we see states that are trying to stay open and leave it up to the business owners. And then we had that whole fiasco with Smithfield. And then it comes to find out Smithfield is actually, that processing plant is owned by a Chinese company. And
that's right.
Understanding that a number of those workers there are in this country illegally. So that's just a storm waiting to happen. But here's
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, finish your statement.
Well, I was just going to say the house of cards continues to fall, right? So we have this breakdown in our food supply. Number one, we've got to get people back to work. These rural communities in the United States are hurting bad because the mom and pop shops can't stay open. And it affects everyone from your tire store to your flower shop to the schools. So we have to get this supply chain rolling. It's all about getting the money rolling. But what is, I question, and maybe I'm out of line here, but I question, is there a further motive here? I mean, what are we doing? And that, you know, it makes me wonder.
Shad, you asked the question because I feel wholeheartedly it's just to, you know, it's China. I go back to China in so many ways. But let's talk about taking care of Americans, because something else that I saw that you had commented on was we're still importing beef.
We are. 2 days ago, we imported the first shipment of beef from the country of Namibia. Now, I don't know where Namibia is, but I do know this. It's an underdeveloped country. And what Americans need to understand is our beef supply is the safest and most wholesome beef supply in the world. No other country compares to ours. And when we have the USDA coming out and saying, basically preparing us to depopulate harvest-ready cattle, along with all of these other crops and meat animal products being destroyed, and people are having a hard time, you know, they're not working, so how do you afford all this? And then the shelves become empty, and we're importing a far less, an inferior product. They don't have the same regulations as we have. It's not as high a quality of beef. They have not put generations of study into their product like Americans have. And so it's a real problem for me when we're wasting food. You know, we have been pushed and pushed for the last 10 years about the sustainability model, which, by the way, comes from the United Nations. And the sustainability model, I have preached and preached, and of course, some people think I'm crazy, and maybe I am, that the sustainability model is a fraud, and it is a control mechanism. And what it basically says, you're going to get on board and produce the way we feel that you need to produce, or you're not going to enter the marketplace. So they're preaching sustainability, and yet we are destroying our harvests, and people are hungry. They are out of work. They are out of money, and we're importing an inferior product, undercutting the United States beef producer, and that is un-American.
Well, and this is pretty frustrating too, Shad, because Namibia is actually in Africa, and, you know, we're always being told how Africans are being starved, and, you know, it's this poor country, and we need to send them money and help. Well, if they're growing cattle and importing it out to the United States, why don't they just keep their cattle and feed their people?
Well, I can't answer that. I know I can't answer that, but I can tell you this. I'm not against trade, but I am against undercutting the American farmer and rancher. I am against undercutting the America First policy, and we have to get away from that. I don't know how we'll do it, but we have to get away from it now. These ranchers, you know, the COVID-19 did not create this. This was created a long time ago through a conglomerate or an oligarchy of our packing companies. We knew this was coming. We didn't know, you know, it's been coming down the line little by little, but the effects of COVID exacerbated the problem, and now it's come to fruition. So we have four main packers controlling 85% of the beef supply chain. And that is, so I thought that was supposed to be illegal. We keep allowing these acquisitions and mergers of our packing system, our food food facilitating system, and it's not working. Too much control. That, you know, today boxed beef prices are at an all-time high. They are profiting over well over $1,000 a head today on their boxed beef prices, and yet the guy who might get a bid on his cattle in the feed yard is losing $400 to $500 a head. And so not only is the producer being oppressed by that kind of control, the consumer is being gouged by that kind of control. We have law, antitrust laws, that our government, our federal government, has not enforced. The Packers and Stockyards Act of 1921 called for fair markets for the producer and the packers, but nobody has enforced that.
That's because nobody complains about it, Shad. So they figure that they have, you know, they have the right to do those things if nobody complains. Shad, I've got to take a quick break, but will you stay on the line? Because I'd love to come back and ask you another question about labeling and making sure you know where your beef comes from. So stay on the line, and you stay with us as well, 884-9910 and 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Live, local, FM Talk, KKFT, for Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is where to say it. Call now at 884-9910.
92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. It's the Monica J. Show. Thanks for joining me today. I have a very special guest, a new Facebook friend and a new friend in general, and that is Shad Sullivan from North Texas. And Shad, thank you for hanging on through the break. I'm going to ask you a quick question, and then we've actually got a call for you, a question.
Uh-oh.
But let me, no, it's nice. We have great listeners here, Shad, and we have a lot of ranchers, and we have a lot of farmers. You know, all those beautiful cantaloupes that go across the country that are made in America coming out from our valleys here. So let me ask you this. What about the labeling of our meats and our products, of where their country of origin actually is? Why don't they do that anymore?
Okay. That's a deep subject, but it's very easily explained. An organization that I happen to belong to named RCAP USA petitioned early in the mid-2000s to implement country of origin labeling. We won that, and until 2015, the Packers were required to put the country of origin label on the beef that they sold. Okay, 2015 comes along, and the powers that be, Congress, delineated that mandate. So the reason that the Packers do not want country of origin labeling is that it allows them to import cheap and lower quality beef to throw onto our beef, thereby increasing their profits. Now, as an American, I believe every single American consumer should have the freedom to choose their product. And they can do that on every single product they buy in the United States of America, except beef and pork. So what kind of sense does that make? They can import this beef. It may be slaughtered. Let's just say they import slaughtered beef into the United States and package it in another country, whether it be Brazil, Argentina, wherever it comes from. They can bring it in, unpackage it, repackage it, and it becomes a product of the United States. I don't see how that is fair, and it seems to me that it is highly deceptive to the consumer.
Yeah, that's,
and it's
that's
unfair
fraud.
To the producers. It's fraud. Yeah. And yet,
all right.
They
go
have
ahead.
So much money and power. They have so much money and power that they are able to lobby that in Congress.
Yeah, all right. We've only got a couple of minutes left before I've got to take a news break, but I want to get Mike on the line here. Mike, you have a question for Shad?
Yeah, Shad. Hey, man, hang in there. We all depend on you guys. 35 years ago. 35 years ago. if not, no, I was about 35 years. The supermarkets used to cut the meat. They'd get swinging beef, the butchers would cut it, and then they came up with this new system where you have these massive slaughterhouses, massive contamination, you got all these illegals working in there getting everybody sick. Why can't we go back to that? Why can't we go back to swinging beef instead of just dropping all these cattle and causing this huge food shortage that's about to hit us?
Well, that's an issue that we need to head on face to face. But I will tell you the reason that that happened is because of the march to vertical integration, an oligarchy controlling the system. And so what happened is they can produce it for a far cheaper cost than the local butcher, and that's what put those out of business. And we do need to go back. And I will defend the Packers in one area that, you know, we do have the cleanest and safest food supply, beef supply in the world. I mean, there's just bar none. I'm very thankful for that.
Did we lose Shad? Oh, okay. Shad, thank you so much. We will definitely have you back on again. I got a hard break here.